A reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9, verses 18 to 20. Once, when Jesus was praying alone with only the disciples near him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist." But others, Elijah, and still others, that one of the ancient prophets has risen. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "The Messiah of God." Praise the Lord. Dear friends, this introductory course or series of talks about the Bible, we have come to the last episode. The question concerning Jesus. Who is the center of history? Who is the source? Who is the goal of the entire biblical narration? And who is the center of revelation? So the question we are dealing with is, who is this Jesus? The last talk we spoke about the historical Jesus, the person who lived in history. And we started asking the question, how do we know about Jesus of history? What are the documents? And we started analyzing some of the secular documents. Apart from the New Testament, there are some documents both on the Jewish as well as the Roman literature. So we spoke about the Jewish document, especially a book written by the Jewish historian called Josephus Flavius. And we analyzed two passages from his book called The Jewish Antiquities. And there we found that Josephus takes for granted that a person called Jesus, who was considered as Christ, lived in Palestine during the time of Pontius Pilate, that he was condemned and he was put to death by the Roman authority. But the death did not stop the movement that he started, that even after his death, his disciples who called themselves Christians continued to believe in him because Jesus appeared to them as living. So this is what we have in the Jewish historian Josephus Flavius. Are there any Roman documents? And the answer usually is no. The Romans, there is no document about, no official document about a person called Jesus of Nazareth in the Roman literature. As far as the Roman literature is concerned, we have to distinguish two types of literature. Official documents called the Acta Senatus, the day-to-day dealings of the Senate, a kind of report about the doings of the Senate has to be considered, and in this Acta Senatus, there is nothing, no mention about a Jesus of Nazareth. But there are other types of literature, they're called the Commentarii Principi, the doings or the dealings, the writings of leading Romans, history books, reports, letters. In such documents, there are some references about a person called Jesus. So there are some Roman documents, and I would like to present some of them today. The first comes from a Roman historian called Tacitus. His full name is Publius Cornelius Tacitus. He lived from 55 to 117 AD. And his book that I want to present is this, The Annals of Imperial Rome. The Annals of Imperial Rome report in the story or the history of Rome from AD 14 to 68, that is till the death of Nero, so from Tiberius to Nero. He speaks something about Christians. Now, there is a chapter about the burning of Rome that took place in 64. The burning of Rome, when he is describing the burning of Rome, there was a kind of rumor that the fire in Rome that devastated 10 out of the 14 quarters of Rome and raged unabated for 6 days was caused by Nero. And this is the context where Christ or Christians become relevant. So in this chapter on the burning of Rome, Tacitus writes like this: "But neither human resources, nor imperial munificence, nor appeasement of the gods eliminated the sinister suspicion that the fire had been instigated. To suppress this rumor, Nero fabricated scapegoats and punished with every refinement the notoriously depraved Christians, as they were popularly called. The originator, Christ, had been executed in Tiberius' reign by the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilatus. But in spite of this temporary setback, the deadly superstition had broken out afresh, not only in Judea, where the mischief had started, but even in Rome. All degraded and shameful practices collect and flourish in the capital." So this is the relevant passage. The fire of Rome caused great suspicions among the people that Nero himself had originated it. And Nero found his life was threatened, and he wanted to put the blame on somebody else. That's when the persecution, official persecution of the Christians started. And here, in this context, what is important in the statement of Tacitus is this about the originator. I read it again. Their originator, so the founder of this movement called Christians, their originator, Christ, had been executed in Tiberius' reign by the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilatus. So this is a very important statement given by a very respected Roman historian. He is not a Christian, and he is not in favor of the Christians. We can see how he hates the Christians or despises the Christians, maybe because of his misunderstanding, or maybe that's how the Romans considered them. So the Christians, they are called and punished with every refinement, the notoriously depraved Christians, as they are called. They are notoriously depraved. Why? In what way? The historian doesn't say. But we know Christians were accused of many crimes, or rather they were despised for various reasons. They did not go to the temples of Romans. They did not worship the Roman gods, so they were considered atheists. They did not take part in the performance at the arena where human blood was shed just for the entertainment of the onlookers. And they did not participate in many of the banquets where sacrifices were conducted and sacrificed animals were given as food. So these Christians became suspicious, or they were suspected, they were came under suspicion. And in this situation, they say the depraved Christian, the originator. So what is important for us is this Roman historian Tacitus speaks about Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, who was killed by a Roman court, condemned by a Roman court, and put to death in a particular place and particular time in Judea during the time of the procuratorship or governorship of Pilate. That is, we know, between 26 and 36. So this is an undeniable fact that a Roman historian says that there was a Jesus of Nazareth. That is one thing. Now, there is another historian called Suetonius. His full name is Gaius Suetonius Tranquillus. He lived from 69 to 135 AD. He was a lawyer. He was a chief secretary of the Emperor Hadrian. He has more than 16 books to his name. And the one book I want to refer is to the life of the 12 Caesars, Suetonius, the 12 Caesars. There, speaking about Claudius, Suetonius has this to say. Because the Jews at Rome caused continuous disturbances at the instigation of Crestus, he expelled them from the city. So the Jews were somehow disturbed by a person called Crestus. Suetonius doesn't know who this Crestus is. He heard about this, that there was disturbance, there was trouble among the Jews. And this trouble was caused by Crestus. But knowing more or better, we know that it's not Crestus, it is Christos. And Christos is the Greek word for Christ. And there was disturbance among the Jews. That is in AD 50, about 20 years after the death of Jesus. In AD 50, the report of Suetonius says there was disturbance caused among the Jews in Rome by a person called Crestus. It points to a conflict between the Jews and Christians. So the Christians, wherever they went, they preached to the Jews, and they were the converted Jews who became Christians. And the presence of the Christians somehow disturbed the Jewish community. Many believed in Jesus as the Christ, and the others did not accept him as the Christ. So those who accepted Jesus as the Christ were considered as traitors, or they were cast out, as we know from the experience of Paul and many others. So there was a disturbance caused in AD 50 in the city of Rome, and we know from other sources that Jews and Christians were expelled from Rome because of this controversy. This was a time when the Jews and Christians are not distinguished properly. Later on we will see Christians become a totally different community. They are distinct and distinguished from the Jews. In the persecution under Nero that started in 64, the Jews are spared and Christians are explicitly persecuted. So already as early as 50 AD, there was a community in Rome who called themselves as Christians following a Christ, and this is a statement by a Roman historian. So it's only a belief that this Christ or the Christus was causing division. This is another important document telling us that people were there who claimed to be Christians and who claimed to be followers of Christ. Another important document is from another governor of Bithynia in Asia Minor, the present Turkey, and he is called Pliny the Younger. Pliny the Younger lived from 61 to 120 AD. And he was a close friend and associate of Emperor Trajan. Trajan sent Pliny the Younger, just to distinguish from Pliny the Elder. He was sent to reorganize the province of Bithynia in Asia Minor. And there he was from 112 to 113 AD, 2 years. In his letter to the Emperor Trajan, letter 1096, he describes his method of handling the Christians who were denounced to him. We know from the time of Nero, there was a law. It is a crime to be a Christian. Some emperors followed or carried out this law, and during the time of Domitian, it was severely, strictly carried out. And Christians were persecuted, not only in Rome, but also in the provinces like Asia Minor. Pliny the Younger, in his letter to Trajan, after describing his method of handling the Christians, was asking, what are we to do with this? Among the practices of the Christians, Pliny mentions their custom of meeting regularly before dawn on a fixed day to chant verses to Christ as to a God. So that's all what we have. Pliny tells that these people who call themselves as Christians come together before the dawn to worship, to pray, and they worship. And they worship Jesus or Christ as a God. Taken in itself, we don't have much. But this one fact, that at the beginning of the second century AD, There were Christians who considered themselves as the followers of Jesus Christ and who were worshipping Jesus as God. Another important source comes from an enemy, so-called enemy of the Christians, a Lucian or Samosata, who somehow ridicules the Christians for their practices and worships. So Lucian from Antioch and came to Rome, and he was a prolific writer and satirist, lived between 115 and 200 AD. He wrote a mocking life of a convert to and then apostate from Christianity, the passing of Peregrinus. The Christians are said to be so enamored of Peregrinus that they revered him as a god. And then I quote, "Next after the other, to be sure, whom they still worship, the man who was crucified in Palestine, because he introduced this new cult into the world." So the Christians worship a person called Christ, who is the founder of this movement, and this founder was crucified in Palestine. Lucian goes on to describe the Christians as worshipping that crucified sophist himself and living under his laws. So these are a few documents that speak of Jesus called the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, who lived in Palestine. These are documents not of faith. These are historical documents, either referring to Jesus in passing or explicitly mentioning him as the founder of a movement. But what is important is this. All these documents tell us one thing, that there lived a person called Jesus, a Jew, who started a kind of movement, and a person who was condemned by a Roman court. Pontius Pilate was the governor, and he was put to death according to the Roman law, crucified. So much is undeniable historical fact. And that's where we start our discussion, our dealings with Jesus. So we are dealing with a historical person, not a fabrication of the mind, not a myth invented by Paul or Peter or any of the disciples or apostles. Whatever he said about this person, well, we have to analyze historically and exegetically. But one undeniable fact remains, that there was a person called Jesus of Nazareth who was condemned to death, put to death by a Roman court. And the death did not stop this movement. In fact, it gave rise to a great movement called Christianity. And it is from this movement that the entire New Testament takes its shape. So we have the four Gospels written about 30 or 40 years after the event, after the death of Jesus. The disciples did not start writing books. The disciples who followed Jesus after the crucifixion and death and after their experience of his resurrection started preaching. What did they preach? They preached about Jesus, about their master whom they believed to be God made man. And they believed that this man was raised from the dead. They knew, they saw that he was crucified. Everybody knew it. And they experienced him after the death as risen. He appeared to them. So the preaching of the Christians from the historical Jesus to the Christ of faith became a testimony to the resurrection. So this Jesus who was put to death by a Roman court and rejected by the Jews was raised by God. And he lives with us forever. So the first proclamation was about the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's how Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, says, when I was with you, I wanted to know nothing about Jesus, nothing but Jesus and him crucified. So the death and resurrection of Jesus was a central mystery that they were preaching. And from this central mystery started the proclamation. The churches were founded, communities that believed in Jesus came together And to these communities, Paul the Apostle or other apostles wrote, giving them instructions about their faith and morals. And later on, books were written about the life of Jesus, about his teachings, and we have the Gospels. The history of the faith, of the salvation proclamation moving from Jerusalem to Rome is written in the Acts of the Apostles. So we have 27 books dealing with Christ and his teaching, his message, and the salvation that he brings. So that's what we are going to study. So this was a kind of series of talks on introducing the Bible. Now we will continue to study the Bible in detail. Six persons will be handling the Bible in six different matters. The first day we will be having historical books of the Old Testament, starting from Pentateuch leading up to the book of Maccabees, 21 books. The next day we will focus on prophets, 18 books, from Isaiah to Malachi. 18 prophetic books will be dealt with in one day, so every week one day. Then the third theme will be wisdom literature, 7 books of the Old Testament, from Job to Sirach, including Psalms. So we have the historical books, we have the prophetic books, and we have the wisdom books. And the fourth day we will have the Gospels, synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Another colleague will be handling this. Then we have the fifth day, the Johannine literature, Gospel of John, the three letters of John, and the book of Apocalypse we'll be studying in detail. And the sixth day we'll be doing the letters of Paul and the Catholic epistles. So each day of the week we will have one particular theme. You are welcome to follow all the talks, all the lessons, or you can choose whatever you like. So this is what we are going to present in the coming weeks and months and years. Study the Bible in detail. What we have been doing was a kind of general introduction. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your word as a lamp to our feet, as a light in our path. We thank you for sending your Son as our bread of life. We thank you for sending your Spirit to guide us into the fullness of truth. Father, we thank you for sending your word to enlighten us, to guide us, to nourish us, and to lead us to life eternal. Enlighten our minds, strengthen and kindle our hearts to listen to your word, to take it to heart, and lead us to life eternal. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.